Welcome to the Diversity on the Hill podcast
with Pastor Jonathan and Pastor Curcio.
Here are the ground rules for our conversation.
Respect one another.
Openness.
No assumptions allowed.
Mistakes are welcome.
And let's grow together.
Enjoy the conversation.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Diversity on the Hill podcast. This is PJ from a remote location, and somewhere on a phone is my running mate. Where you at, bro?
Nah, it's PK here.
Oh.
And I am back at home.
You're back at home. You sound like you're a radio caller on a TV, on a radio show.
Like calling. Let's go.
Yeah. But this is cool, man. We're getting it done.
I like it.
This is the first time I've recorded with you, not face to face.
That's true.
How does it feel?
Lonely.
Aren't you with your family?
I'm so lonely.
Well, you're probably lucky though. You don't have to look at my face while you're doing it. So.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
I always love watching your expression.
All right. Well, and we are having our yearly roundtable of youth pastors because we're at our youth pastor meetings that we have every year. And we got among us some chaplains, some pastors, and they're going to introduce ourselves. Some have been on, well, all these guys have been on the podcast before. In this round, some have been in other forms as well. But sitting across from me is who?
I'm PG.
PG.
Parental guidance.
Parental guidance. Yes, please. Yeah. When you listen to him and when he talks, please, parental guidance. It's not for under 13-year-olds. All right. Sitting next to him is probably going to be our most shy and worried person on this podcast. So what do you... and that's true. Don't even say it's not true.
So, I'm PT.
PT. All right. PT.
Physical therapy.
Next,
all right.
Next to him...
PC.
PC. You've gone by PC a long time, too. That's been one of your nicknames, so it's nothing new for you. And then the next one.
J-Dub.
J-Dub. Oh, you're going with J-Dub.
J-Dub.
All right. J-W.
Nope, it's J-Woo.
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 How about J-Woo?
That's a letter. J-Woo was a letter. J-Woo was a letter.
No, J-Woo was what the term he used before.
So just stick with it. That's your nickname.
I'll stick with it. J-Woo it is.
All right. So we want to remind you that we're just doing a little conversational style here. None of these guys know what we're talking about, and that makes them nervous. They've been whining
makes
some
to of
me
them
already.
Nervous. Some of them.
Some of them. Not all of them. Curcio's not nervous. PK's not nervous. But
no. We've done this before.
Yeah, we've done it all
they
the time.
They know how this rolls.
But there's a few of them who are worried they might say something wrong. So it's all right. What we're trying to do is emulate a conversation. That's all we're doing. So we've had many of conversations this weekend, and none of you have been shy to share.
We haven't been recording.
That's
to
true.
Be fair, we haven't been recording.
No one else is going to be listening to those conversations. Anyways, so you had a question before, though, right?
I was just asking.
So just a little banter here. What was your question?
First of all, what do you guys think? But I have a website.
Think about what?
Think about. I'm going to give it to you. Okay. Right. What do you think about the top five? And we'll do the whole Bible. But
the
like favorite
Bible.
Characters, not Jesus and God. Favorite characters from Scripture. What do you think the top five are? I have a list
here.
Okay,
most
you popular or
list.
It's not our favorite.
Yeah, it's from.
What is this based upon? This could be based upon anyone.
The first Google website that came up when I did a Google search.
Well, what's the website? Because is it atheist.com?
Yep.
Is it
no?
Is it evangelicals?
It's rambling something.
so
it's perfect. It's a random list that somebody generated. Somebody thinks. So
this is an AI generated list.
Maybe.
Of most, but the most popular
favorite.
Or,
yeah, we got five.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Well, favorite is a little more subjective.
It is.
Than
it
most
is.
Popular.
You could say it either way. Popular
is
favorite.
It?
I feel like it is.
I think popular
like favorite is who is my personal favorite. Who do I connect with?
But popular
whereas popular could be like who's mentioned the most or.
I have a list of five Bible characters. Let's see if we can guess them.
just random
in Bible order characters. Or just
no,
get them
just
all
top, five. Top five. You can see my computer screen, but it's all turned this way.
Oh, I mean, we can get at least.
I got one.
All right.
Jair.
Dude, that's so close.
Okay, he's out.
you can get a guess once
I'm
other people
saying,
get
it. It could be any website. So it could be the most popular,
pretty,
obscure.
Pretty popular.
Okay. Character.
We're probably going to know all of them.
I know number one.
You're going to know all of them.
I know number one.
What's number one?
For sure.
I doubt you'll get what
they're. Are we doing Old Testament?
It's the whole Bible.
Or we go for number one first.
There's only one New Testament character.
Only one.
I believe
only
one New Testament character. It's not Jesus. Okay. That's not on the list.
So one New Testament. Let's go for which is the number one.
Wait, there's two New Testament characters. I'm wrong. Two New Testament characters.
Oh, my stars.
Oh, two.
First off, we don't know who we're trying to mind two. Or trying to read. If this is a Catholic website, it would be different. Yeah. It would be the Mother Mary of Jesus. But if it's a Protestant one, it could, you know, if it's the Calvinist, who knows? Right. I don't know what you're
doing. Sign me up for Paul.
Oh, Paul!
I think Paul's on the list.
He's on there, but he's not number one.
Paul's number three.
Okay, so he's number three. I think David is number one.
David's not on here.
What?
Not on the list.
I think Moses is number one.
Nope. Not on the list.
See, this is not a true list. This is not a true list.
Wait a minute.
Okay, so then we've got to go with like...
Okay, this is obviously a Protestant list.
We're going to go with Abraham.
Abraham.
Abraham is number four.
All right.
Abraham's number four.
So you got four and three.
Okay, so is it like Samson?
Nope.
No.
New Testament. Well, I'm going to go with Peter.
Like, Peter. Peter's number one. Peter's number one.
See, Peter's my number one New Testament.
He's my He's my number one. I most relate to him because he acts and then thinks.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like Peter.
Did you say Moses is not on the list?
Is not on the list. You got two more.
Oh. So those are the only two New Testament characters.
Yeah, and I would say these are like old, like... Think like older Testament.
I would say Joseph.
Joseph is number two.
Samuel.
Adam.
Samuel, no.
So no? You should say no to Adam?
Oh, no.
Because you just looked at me and then.
I said no. Sorry. We got one more. Number five.
He said Daniel.
He already said Daniel. Oh, no. He said David.
One more.
So Daniel's not one.
It's one you got. We quote a lot. Like we don't quote a lot, but we talk about. I feel like Christians talk about this character a lot. Like they do. I would say the more I think
every
about
one
it,
of them we've mentioned, we talked about
it. But this one, even I hear Christians who may be going through.
What are you peeking? You're
going through Job,
Solomon,
Job. Going
really?
Through a time. I hear Christians talk about.
I don't
it all the
think
time.
Top five, but
I would not
top five.
Anyways,
when you need Christians a new list. AI doesn't
understand the Bible.
Yeah, but this is definitely an AI generated.
Job.
So what denomination would this be if Job is who's number one again?
Oh, I just deleted the file.
How did you delete the file? So this was something he made up.
No, it's not.
A file off the internet.
I made a file from the website. So Peter was number one.
What denomination could this be?
It's called? No. Wait, pope? This is what it says. No significant.
Oh, first pope.
No significant character in the New Testament was more relatable than Peter. That's what the website says.
That's true.
I think so. I hear a lot of that. People, if you say, who do you relate it to the most? People say Peter.
He's probably the one that there's the most.
Who is number two?
Number two was Joseph from the Old Testament.
So I think I agree with that one.
It's pretty popular.
Because, I always think it's interesting that, like, the first 25 chapters of Genesis is, you know, creation, and then Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then the last 25 chapters are all about Joseph, which I think is kind of crazy. Like, so the last half of the book of Genesis is
that much, really?
I think so, right?
He has a lot of stories too. There's a lot of stories about him that you can relate to in different ways. I do think Job is pretty popular too. I hear people talk about Job when they go through a tough time. Like I know, like Job.
Yeah, every time there's something tough happens, you go to Job immediately. To Job. Immediately to Job.
Moses is number six. I found the website.
Did you?
37 to 50.
Yep. Daniel's number seven.
Chapter 37.
Okay. Well, speaking of Daniel.
Oh.
Let's go ahead and move into our topic.
Oh,
are you ready?
Oh,
so I told you this was going to be straight Bible. This is down your pipeline. Don't worry. We won't get into politics this episode.
There's a lot of Daniel and politics, but go ahead.
Oh, you're right. maybe we will get into politics.
I love it.
All right. I'm just trying to sneak it in there. All right. Daniel 3. The image in the firing, blazing furnace. All right. What do you guys think of that story, first of all?
Hey, I'm wrong, by the way. Joseph is... the last 13 chapters.
Okay. All right. So,
fact check.
Yeah. Fact check. Yeah. Still a lot.
All right.
So we're talking about the image of gold.
We're talking the image of gold and the blazing
leading
furnace.
To the furnace.
Yeah. I like the story. I love, and by story I mean actual history. Like I think it actually happened. I'm not saying story like.
Well, good. I'm glad you do.
Yeah, just letting everybody know. Yeah.
Church, I hope so, you do. Thank you. For
hey, you have to clarify because
I mean you do have to clarify.
There's people that will say story as fiction, like. Mm-hmm.
So, I want to talk about this story a little bit, but a little bit further as we get down along. But for those of you who maybe don't know the story, well, you know, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream in Daniel 2 about this big image, right? Mm-hmm. Then Daniel, go ahead, go ahead and he prophesies about it and he tells him the meaning of it. And it's all these different kingdoms, which he was the head of gold. And then it goes through all these other kingdoms. And that is actually a big chapter for Adventists with prophecy and kind of the scriptural integrity and veracity of the Bible, right? But then in...
Veracity.
Big word, right?
Daniel chapter 2 is
I learned that one in school.
It's actually the one I go to whenever I feel in doubt. Like, I go to Daniel chapter 2. That's my, like, rock or what, I don't know how you want to describe it. That's what I go to, and I'm like, he knew so much history. Anyway, so...
Does anyone else go to something different? Go to something in the Bible when you're... Quiet. Crickets. Okay, never mind.
I think Psalms. I usually end up going to Psalms when I'm struggling or having, you know, a rough time in life, and I take solace. And
it depends where you're from.
I've heard it both ways. Pacific Northwest.
Solace if you're in here. Yeah. Solace if you're, you know, Pacific from someplace weird.
Yeah. Solace. I take solace in the fact that David struggled and went through tough times.
Yeah. So, I go to Job.
Philippians 4. Number one.
Philippians 4.
4:6.
Nice. Chapter
7. Don't be anxious about anything.
Nice. Right. Cool.
God will even podcasts you, you don't know the topic of. Even podcasts you don't know. Be anxious about.
Let's go there.
You guys are unbelievable. Note that.
Noted.
All right. Noted. Now, so in chapter 3, we see that Nebuchadnezzar now he's gotten a big head. He loves his kingdom. His kingdom is the kingdom of all kingdoms, even according to the prophecy. By the way, God says, you are like this amazing kingdom. So then he gets this big head and he's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to make this big image of gold and I'm going to make people worship it. All right. A lot of people say, actually, this is a kind of a parallel to maybe some last day events too, that Daniel parallels last day events. And so there's some of that imagery in there as well. And as it happens, he says, hey, when I play some music, everyone needs to bow down to me and worship. All right. You know the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three buddies of Daniel, go ahead and they don't bow. They stand. And then someone snitched on them. There was a tattletale in the house and said, King, someone's not kneeling. So he brings them up, says, hey, I'm going to give you another shot. That was pretty nice.
Just in case you didn't hear me.
Yeah, just in case you didn't. Yeah, I'm going to give you another shot. And the music plays. And then they immediately say, don't worry about it. We're telling you right now. We're not going to bow because we only bow down to our God, right? So furious in a rage about verse 13, Nebuchadnezzar, he's already furious in rage. Then he goes, hey, man.
Verse 19, I think.
Verse 19. Cool.
Nebuchadnezzar was furious. He seems a little unhinged.
Well, like, why do you think he's unhinged?
They just keep saying furious with rage. I don't think I've ever been described in that way, at least not to my face. Maybe you have behind my back.
You never know. he's furious with rage a couple times, actually. It says it a couple times. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to get thrown in there. But before he does that, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, verse 16. Hey, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. So they seem pretty confident, that's right?
Well, he'll deliver from the power. If God allowed them to die and that, they'd be delivered from his hand anyways.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Like, they wouldn't be in his power anymore. Either way.
They'd be dead.
Yeah, I know, but they're not.
Do you think Nebuchadnezzar would still think he showed his power, though?
I think so, yeah. I mean, that's why God acted, because it was there was more people would. I mean, there's all kinds of, I don't know what question you're getting to, but there's all kinds of stories of when God doesn't intervene and that person, that missionary or whatever, does die or does whatever. And like, why did he do this here? And we don't get to know that until heaven, but I don't know if that's where you're heading. But
I mean, I'm going to talk about that a little bit, because that's interesting. When does God intervene? When does he not intervene? I mean, that's obviously an interesting question as we get into this. And one of the reasons why I want to talk to you guys about this, because there's one verse that I'm going to get to that I'm going to read, and I'm going to tell you instantly where my mind went. And as a preacher, you know, sometimes you take one thing out of something and you want to preach it. But then again, you also want to make sure that it's well thought of, right? And that you're kind of seeing all angles.
Are you using us as sermon prep?
Yeah, maybe this is sermon prep. Right.
So question before we move on. What was this an image of?
It was the image of the statue that he saw
in chapter 2?
Yeah.
Okay. But
I think it was an tradition says it was an image of him, King Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah. Because we don't know, in the previous thing, it says you are the head of gold. So I don't know if maybe he saw his own head or if he saw just some random symbol.
Do you think he was like embarrassed or threatened by what Daniel said? That's why he caused him to do this? Like, because I know we were talking about parenting earlier and it's not where we're going with this, but I know some of the biggest mistakes I've made as a parent is when I felt embarrassed or like threatened maybe. And so I wonder if he's furious. Maybe he loses control with them almost. He heats it 7 times hotter. He loses some of his own, all that stuff. But like, I wonder if he felt threatened or wanted, like, just threatened or embarrassed by Daniel. And I wonder why Daniel wasn't there. That's a whole other thing too. But
yeah, I think you're right. I think you hit it right on the head because, like in verse 16, it talks about how, you know, he says, "Hey, you need to bow down, right?" And then in verse 16, they're like, "King, you know, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter.
Don't give us another chance."
Well, what was
if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, you know, God is able to deliver us, but you know, sorry, man, we're not going to do this. And if he doesn't, it's still cool. Like, we're just not going to bow down to you. Sorry. Or bow down to this image of you, right? But then he says, "We will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." So in that context, he gets furious.
But
so
who were they actually bowing down to? It wasn't their gods. It was to him. It was an image of him.
Yeah.
Like, so do you think that, it kind of hit me now, do you think that one of the reasons why he was furious, I do think part of it, he was embarrassed and he needed to show his power, right? Mm-hmm. Or was it that he was expecting this glory? And then when it wasn't given to him, he felt hurt and upset. It made me think of like, are there times in my life where I'm expecting someone to give me praise, someone to say good job, someone to say hey, like because of my own ego, right? And then when they don't,
mistakes are made after that, right? Yeah.
But is that a phone call coming in? Are we getting a phone call from our people?
Yeah, there's a. Yeah, I'm gonna have to.
From PK or
PK? Yeah, we're just on the fly here.
Nope, it's not me.
Oh man,
Bob Bogus is trying to beep in, so we're just gonna let it
all right,
go.
We'll just let it go. All right, sorry, Bob, you can't be a part
Bob
of this conversation.
Bob could be part of it, but
yeah. Well, we can't be. Can we get
could send
people?
Him to voicemail?
I mean, him being a part of this conversation is essentially the same thing as us because we had no idea.
Yeah.
What we were gonna be talking about? That
would be funny. That would if be he called you, yeah. We just put him on.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, Bob. Yeah. You are our caller. What question do you have?
Go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say they have just amazing trust. Mm-hmm. That God's going to do it. And I don't remember where it is, but somewhere in Isaiah where it talked about people going through the fires. And maybe they had heard those stories or had heard those and are like, you know what? God delivered then. So he's going to deliver us now. And of course, that's going to make him mad for defying him.
Yeah, there's a lot of attacks on his ego.
Yeah.
Right? They're not worshiping him, they're not obeying him. He's embarrassed now. He has to show his power.
And he was trying to give him another chance and, like, no.
And then, they say no to his grace.
Yeah.
Right? Like, come on, guys, I'm trying to be nice to you. And then they say, by the way, God's going to deliver us from your hand. You're not powerful.
And I think a lot of, I know this is true of like Pharaoh. I don't know if it's true here, but I think a lot of kings of kingdoms back then would think that they were like deities.
God. Yeah.
Right? They
yeah.
thought they were God. And
I think it was the same of Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah.
Yeah. So if he thinks of himself as God and you refuse to bow down, then he's gonna lay down the law.
All right, let's continue. Verse 18, he says, "But even if he does not," which is interesting, right? So they seem so confident before that they're going to be delivered. And he says, "Even if he does not," right? "We want you to know, your majesty." They do say something nice here, "Your majesty." "That we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you've set up," right? Mm-hmm. So they seem so confident. Hey, he's going to rescue us. What? Go ahead.
No, I don't know if they have complete trust in God, but they don't know the outcome of what
even
he's going to do.
Even if he lets him, them die.
Despite what happens, we're good.
We still trust God, even if we don't make it through this. So, next
yeah, time. I don't know if they knew if God was going to save them, but they're.
It sounded like the verse
they're
before.
Fine with.
Yeah.
Either way,
how
we
they
are surrendered
with God. I felt they felt they were right with God.
Yeah.
If God decides to display His power, and save them from this, because this is only a miracle that could save them from this. Mm-hmm. Or if not, we're at peace with this because we want to be faithful to our God.
Mm-hmm. All right. So then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. So he ordered the furnace, like Josh was saying, to be seven times hotter. And it was so hot that when they threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the people who threw them in died. Think about that. The king had no regard for anyone. He was so mad that he didn't care if other people died. Mm. That's pretty wild, right? I don't know if any of you can relate to that. When you're so mad with someone else, you don't care about the
collateral damage.
The collateral damage, right? Yeah. Mm. I mean, I think that's a pretty deep statement. All right. So then they die, and then King Nebuchadnezzar, and then in verse 24, all right, then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Hey, weren't there three men tied up into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly." He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the fourth looks like the Son of God's.
I want to go real quick. I want to go back. He's talked about the men that died. It says, and this is New Living Translation, the strongest men in his army. It's not like telling he was really taking them as a challenge. They were challenging, their God is stronger than you and your gods. So he takes his strongest guys. Says,
why would he do that?
he sacrificed them too. I mean, he was willing to sacrifice them too. Anyways.
I think there's something deep in there. Yeah. All right. So Nebuchadnezzar then approached the blazing furnace and shouted. And by the way, we believe that is Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. In there, Jesus is walking in there. Usually when there's a physical appearance of God or a God-like person, we believe that that's Jesus. And we can see that in the image. It looks like the Son of God's, right? There was something about the appearance of the fourth.
And for him to even, what's interesting is him as a polytheistic, I mean, obviously he believes he's a God, but there's gods out there. We see this as his story is kind of displayed, but to recognize this looks like the Son of God's is an interesting thought, because
he recognizes him as deity. He recognizes him as deity, right?
Do you think because
how does he know what?
Well, he's a is Son of God's, right? It's like I've heard it preached about, like a son of the gods. Like it's he's not saying this Jesus, because he obviously doesn't know that term, but he recognized him as deity, like you were saying.
Well, wasn't the sometimes when you say you're the son of so-and-so, you're taking on their characteristics?
Yeah.
So, yeah. The Son of Gods, all right? Nebuchadnezzar then approached the open blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." And this is the part I want to talk about a little bit, because I underlined this, and then I started thinking some stuff, and I want to pick your brains about this a little bit. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, precepts, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. So they come out of the fire. Everyone crowds around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor a hair on their heads was singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. To me, that's cool, but I think sometimes we gloss over that section.
Well, and they were bound, right?
They were bound. So the things that had bound them.
I'm assuming that came off.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they weren't bound anymore. Like that. Again, this is because it doesn't mention it here. So you just kind of assume that that's what.
I don't think they were bound at all.
We were bound, being thrown in, but they weren't on their way out. Yes. So that burned off.
Off. Yeah. All the remnants of what the king was trying to do to them had died or was burned off.
I don't think about the scene. Like, you just have four or more. I don't know how, it doesn't mention how many people have just been burned alive. Mm. And the fire. And he's shouting at them. The noise and the smell must have been awful. Mm. And to note that they didn't smell was something. It's important.
Yeah, that's huge. No smell of fire was on them at all.
You're just around fire nowadays.
Yeah. And then a days too. I don't think just nowadays.
Well,
just nowadays.
Just nowadays.
I come back from senior survival. It's like 4 days before I don't smell like smoke anymore. Yeah. It's just a campfire.
Good clarification.
So what do you guys think of this? Like, I feel like we gloss over this a lot of times. We talk about it a little bit. Yeah, there was nothing there. But man, something hit me when I was reading it. Go ahead.
I think God, again, there's so many times in scripture, I think of like Gideon and other times, like wanted to make sure that you know this is God. Like, this is God. Like, there's no, like, there was a cold spot in the fire. Like, there's no, yeah, with the men that died and all of this thing. I just think God's like showing this is God 100%. There's no other explanation than miraculous.
Mm-hmm. And these guys set the table for this. They're like, hey, if he does it, he's going to do it.
Yeah.
So their trust was having an impact on him, even though he was furious, because he's pretty quickly changed mm-hmm. after he sees not anything happen to him, like you're saying. Not a smell, not a singe of the hair, nothing.
Anything else? So the first thing that popped into my brain was there was no signs of trauma.
Mm.
And I don't, like, I was a psychology major, right? There's trauma in everything we do.
Right? Yeah.
Everything that happens to you creates some kind of trauma if it's a negative impact mm-hmm. or negative thing, right? Man, the first thing that popped in my brain, and why I wanted to process this is because, you know, you alluded to other things where there's martyrs, right? But in this instance, there was no sign of any kind of trauma at all. And I do believe, like, in today's society, we talk a lot about trauma. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about past things. We all talk about if someone calls me something that I'm not comfortable with, that's traumatic to me. If you're doing this to me, that's traumatic to me. If I'm a Christian and you're persecuting me, that's traumatic. You shouldn't be doing that. I mean, so there's kind of this overuse in my mind of, listen, bad things happen to us all, right? And a lot of times they do affect us in some way, like whether they make us angry, that's as a result of the mental trauma that was given to us, right? But at the same time, as a psychology major, I know there's trauma when stuff happens to you, and I don't want to minimize those things. But I knew that, like, I thought, oh man, this would be a great sermon illustration about when we're truly with God, is there still trauma in our lives? And I felt comfortable with that, but also uncomfortable with that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because I think if somebody, your first, when you just said that, I'm like, what if somebody's going through a traumatic thing that, like, a kid that literally is not, like, they have no choice
yeah.
but to be in that trauma. Yeah. Like, right now, nobody knows about it or whatever. Mm. And if you, I think stating that, are they going to wonder, like, well, am I not with God?
Yeah.
And I think that there are times, just like we talked about the martyrs and things, there are times when there is no trauma because what God does, the miraculous. But there are times in the sinful world that trauma does exist. And like, they could have died that at the fiery furnace and God's still God. Like, and they were still with God. Like, you know what I'm saying? They could have died and they did nothing too wrong. And they, so I don't know if I would go, I know you're not saying this, but like, if that's the exact way to go.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out, was there some, yeah, go ahead. Anyways.
Well, one thing I've now that you brought that up, I realized that there was peace going into it
mm-hmm.
and there's peace coming out of it. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think it was more of just a mindset. I mean, Tabor mentioned Philippians 4, you know, let your request be made known to God. I assume they were praying to be delivered. Right. But the result of letting your request be made known is not that your prayers are always answered, but the blessing of peace, the blessing of peace, a peace that passes all understanding. And so I think they said, hey, I'm at peace going into this thing. And when I came out, well, I'm at peace coming out of it because God decided to move and act. And either way, it almost doesn't even surprise them
yeah.
because they were at peace with it. They had it didn't really shake them or didn't provide trauma to them because of just their mindset. Mm. I don't know.
I like that. I like that thought. That's an interesting thought.
I'm going to think along those lines, like peace or God's grace. When Paul had the thorn in the flesh, you know, he's pleading for it to be removed. And then he said, you know, if it doesn't, your grace is still sufficient for me. It's going to be good enough. So in that light, that's what they're saying. Like, we're at peace. Or, you know what, God, your grace still going to cover us no matter what.
Yep.
What affliction is coming or what trauma or whatever they're experiencing.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I want to preach this verse, right? But at the same time, I'm reticent.
Well, I think you could in the sense of like for some, you might need to say that time of coming out of the fire may not be till heaven. When the signs of trauma or the actual trauma, like there may be some people that won't get that till heaven, but there may be some people that will, and that's not a comparison. We've talked about that being before, of comparison is the thief of joy, so I don't need to look, well, he's not having trials, why he doesn't see signs of trauma, why am I in this? I think we need to realize that this coming out of that fire for some may not be till heaven.
I like that, because if you know, like I said at the beginning, if we think this is a parallel to the last days, mm-hmm. right, and standing up for God, you know, there will be no sign of trauma in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Other than Jesus' scars.
Other than Jesus' scars. Those will be the only signs of trauma that we will see. But like in my own life, there won't be the smell of sin. There won't be the smell of despair. Mm-hmm. God's going to wipe every tear from my eye. He's wiping away all that trauma. I like that. That's an interesting way to think about it. No.
Yeah, my mind goes to this concept. Like fragmentation and integration, how the brain responds to trauma. Oh, no, I don't want to get too really technical. I know you're well versed in this, CJ.
Continue.
But the thought is that trauma causes fragmentation in the brain. It separates like the way that we process and experience or what have you. And then an integrated brain or a healthy one, when you have or you experience some traumatic event and there's someone there to comfort you, your brain can process that in a healthier manner and therefore it's in a more integrated state. So when I think about the Hebrew boys, right, I think about the fact that they had already experienced a lot of trauma as it pertains to going as captives into Babylon and all that stuff. And part of that concept, I think, is they've always stood for God. They were going against what everybody else was doing, and that God just honored that in this process of them being before the entire kingdom and standing up to the king and all that. And he just came alongside them and he showed them that even through all their difficulties and all their trauma, they knew God was with them because they were seen with favor. But then in that moment where they could have lost their lives, he was there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this was reaffirming them that he's with them and he's kind of honoring their efforts and what have you. But at the same time, I look at it from a different perspective where I'm saying, what if this particular experience that the three Hebrew boys went through was really God trying to reach Nebuchadnezzar?
Why?
If you fast forward later on in the book, right, he's trying to save him.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if through their, I guess, willingness to be sacrificed to a degree, right? Because they didn't know if God was going to come through or not, mm-hmm. but it wasn't going to stop them from doing what they understood was right. But then the fact that he did, he was really trying to reach Nebuchadnezzar and the rest of the Babylonian kingdom. So I wonder if the fact that, like Jeff said, when they're trying to highlight God did this, nobody else could have done this like this,
mm-hmm.
was really just God putting a stamp on who he is with his believers, the three Hebrew boys, but then also establishing himself as God for that whole kingdom and then ultimately trying to save the king, which he accomplishes later on.
Yeah. No, I truly believe that's why they're not martyrs, is because I think if they had died, things probably would have continued. there weren't a whole lot of other believers in there that mm-hmm. were... Usually martyrs kind of prop up other believers or point to something somehow. I don't think in this case martyrdom would have, helped out in that situation. He definitely showed them, hey, there's only one true God here in all of this. And I'm going to show you through, hey, listen, they're going to have no signs of trauma on them.
And
afterwards.
Nebuchadnezzar had to keep learning that.
Oh, well,
yeah. I mean, he did, yeah. But I mean, that's hope for me. Like, I think God tries to teach us all, like, some things over and over and over again. We're stubborn in our own ways, and God keeps working with us. I think God worked with him for many years.
Yeah, and this is something interesting too with all these stories. Who do you identify with usually? I usually identify with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but if I look at my life, Maybe I should be identifying with Nebuchadnezzar.
There's times. There's times that I feel like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's times when I feel like Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, I wouldn't say setting up a like identical, but yeah, there's times when I mess up and I'm like, man, I think I should have learned this lesson a year ago.
Well, aren't there times that we set up something to be self-glorified?
Bring us glorified. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of things in here that I can, if I truly look at it, I identify with the villain of the story.
Well, and pride gets to Nebuchadnezzar at the end. I mean, later on, yeah. That's what the pride gets to him, and it can get to all of us.
Josh, you raising your hand?
Yeah, so this is why I don't like to do things on the spot, because I don't feel like I've fleshed out my idea here.
This is what we're doing. We're fleshing
out idea.
This is the whole point of it.
Hey, this conversation doesn't stay here.
Not everyone has the benefit of it.
It does not. You're right. But I mean, like I just had this sort of thought. What do you think this has an allusion to, like end time judgment? So when the earth is
cleansed with fire, interesting.
Cleansed with fire.
Wow, that's cool.
There is no trauma after that, right?
Every
tear will be wiped away from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. That's cool. The old order of things has passed away. So they essentially sort of came through that judgment, unaffected by the judgment almost,
I like that. So it was similar to what he said, but I like the fact that you said that the symbolism of fire, which we have the earth being cleansed with fire at the end, but we know that God, if you're with God, you're right with God. Yeah, he's going to get us through this. We're not worried about this earth burning, because we know God's going to fix it and he's going to make it so that there's no sign of trauma afterwards. I think that's a great thought. Yeah. You see what happens when we flesh things out together?
It's a good, safe environment, I guess.
Yeah. Many of you are worried about
feel that way when I talk to you, but you know, there's trauma in my heart right now.
Yeah, who hurt you when you were small? I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry, there's trauma.
You know, one thing I'm just thinking about too is why I would have been curious to find the fourth person, the Son of God.
Interesting.
He calls and goes up and gets the three guys to come out.
Yeah.
But it's obviously the Son of God's who he believes, right, who's providing the miracle at the moment. And he never once is like, hey, I want to see this. I want him to come. I want to talk to this
one. If he asked Jesus to come out and talk, do you think he would have? Like, if it never can just like, and you come talk to me.
That's interesting.
Sorry, I don't listen to you.
Yeah, but I wonder if this is one of those experiences when the Holy Spirit was the one that revealed that to him. You know, like there's those times where people don't even know what they're saying, and it's Holy Spirit led. Mm-hmm. Sure. I wonder if Nebuchadnezzar did that. That was his moment where the Holy Spirit came upon him and he said those words.
Yeah, but still, I agree with you, Tabor. Why didn't he call him? Like, I
because I want to explore the whole moment. Like, I mean, obviously we're dwelling and wrestling with this right now as we're talking about it. But at the same time, it's like, okay, yeah, we just threw three guys in there. I want to talk with them. Mm-hmm. But we know these three guys are just normal guys who, though now, if I'm Nebuchadnezzar, now I believe, okay, they serve a God that's powerful. Mm-hmm. So I want to, because he calls all people to, at the end, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel to rescue his servants, but calling attention to
God. Yeah. I think there's a facepalm moment for God. I think there is right there. God. No, just hear that. Okay. Like God's like, because what does Nebuchadnezzar do right after that? He's like, if you say anything bad about their God, you'll be torn limb from limb. You'll be taken from their houses. And God's like, really, Nebuchadnezzar? Like, really? Like this? Really?
But that's like a new.
I know.
There's other verses about new believers, and maybe we'll study one later, because I have another question about you, about another story about like this concept of new believers and what do we expect from them, right? So obviously, he was kind of a baby believer, but was he truly a believer? Kind of. I think he was in the infant stages of realizing that. Did maybe Nebuchadnezzar think, man, I probably shouldn't call this dude out because I'm not on his same level?
He realized he was not.
I don't know. But yeah, I'd be like, why wasn't there more curiosity about that fourth? That's a good point. Hmm. See, man, I'm learning all kinds of great things from you guys.
Well, just make sure that when you preach it here in a few weeks, that you just give credit to the podcast.
Listen to the podcast where we talked about this. I wonder if Shadrach, he said he promoted them. I wonder if he put them in the same positions as those people who died when they threw them in. I don't know.
you get their spot. If it happens again.
Yeah. Well, you're fireproof, so you're going to be the guys throwing them in the fire every time.
And I want to go back to, because something was said too. You know, it is very curious why Daniel is not here in this situation, because, this is a moment for Nebuchadnezzar. He's calling all these people from all these different nations to check out his image that he's created. It's a moment of allegiance to see who's going to be
allegiance.
Who's going to be allegiant to him. And so that's what he calls all these leaders from all these different nations to come down and bow down and worship this image, which is, we believe, of him. But Daniel's not there. And I've heard several people, one time when I was in one of my classes on Daniel, suggest that perhaps he was not there because of the story of Daniel 1, where he proved...
Daniel 2 or 1?
1.
1, the food story. He wanted to be tested from eating the healthy food. And then at the end of that, after the king saw how healthy he was, promoted him to a high position at that time and recognized his God at that moment. Mm-hmm. Even though Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were a part of that, Daniel was kind of the leader of that.
Well, didn't he also recognize him right after he did the, in Daniel 2, he's like, hey, your God's amazing because you were able to
interpret
this dream. So he was already impressed with Daniel's God, which is interesting.
And so that's what suggested that possibly he recognized Daniel and thought Daniel was an incredible guy who had a great connection with his God. You're not going to bow down and worship. You have an excuse not to be here. There's no biblical support that. But there's, like, why is Daniel not here? Because he's already been promoted.
Could he been there?
And been excused from it? I doubt he was there because everyone's supposed to bow.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it doesn't go with his character to bow, as we read later. Like somebody, I heard that somebody said, what if Daniel bowed? I don't think he did. I don't think he was there.
No, that makes sense.
I don't think he was there and bowed just to...
Like, some have speculated too. I've also heard someone say, hey, maybe he wasn't there because Nebuchadnezzar
knew.
Was ashamed. Because he gave him the interpretation of the statue, and now he's like, nah, I'm going to make myself the greatest.
And he knew Daniel would call him on it, too.
Perhaps.
He knew Daniel was going to say, wait a minute.
Do you remember the definition? This isn't the interpretation.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And he may have already had those conversations. But I think the building of this thing took some time. Daniel had to know about it. He was in charge of a lot. So he may have said, I know where you stand on this, so you just don't be there. Fine.
Daniel knew this was happening. Yeah. There's no doubt.
I wonder also, sometimes it's timeless, kind of thinking this through on the fly here. Like, there's sometimes when... We got being mentored by someone, and then there's sometimes when we need to stand and it's our turn. You know what I'm saying? Like, So, like, it may have been Daniel's like, listen, I've told him what I feel. You guys go in, you know, it was their time to have that Daniel and Lion's Den moment or that come to, you know, are you going to stand or are you going to, you know, where the rubber meets the road?
Trust moment.
Yeah, trust moment. It's their turn. I don't know.
This is leading me down another rabbit hole with Daniel in politics.
I have some tabs open.
No, we don't have time to do that now, but just a thought. Like, anyway, never mind. That's a whole nother topic. And maybe me and Curcio can hit that one because I know it's going to make some of you nervous. But maybe not. I don't know.
Way to throw your guest under the bus.
Well, you guys are already
saying. I don't like you using this nervous thing.
Yeah, I'm using this nervous thing so you don't hold me accountable. All right, man. Well, hey, that was pretty good. I feel comfortable with that. I feel good with that. Thanks, guys. You helped me process some things. And I just think there's some amazing things to kind of think about. I still think there is a moment in time when we trust God and we do what he asks us to, the result will lead to no trauma. But I do think there is a trust issue to that. There's the peace going into it, like someone said, that I think is a big component of that, knowing what you do. I also think that sometimes when bad things happen to us, and we don't have a choice and we're not ready for us, trauma will hit us. But I do think God can take care of that trauma if we allow him to heal us. It could take time. It could take help, which I do think that is, I'm a big proponent of getting help if you need it. But I also think, hey, if you have trauma in your life, maybe for some of us it's in the kingdom come, but know that God wants to leave us without a trace of that trauma. That is his desire for our hearts. So do whatever you can to hold on to God, to get to that place. It may not be, and it's not always a quick process, right? But I do feel like this is also a promise to me that, hey, even the trauma that I have in my life, God wants to take care of that. He wants to leave no residue of that in my life. So if you're struggling with something, hey, talk to a pastor, talk to someone you care about, get into the Word of God. If you need to talk to a counselor, talk to a counselor. If something really tragic happened to you when you were younger, get help. Those are things that God wants to heal, right? And he wants to do that. So I do want to encourage anyone who's on that path to think about that things and know that God does promise us a time where he wants to take all that trauma away from us. Hey, thanks guys for listening. Hey, PK, thanks for calling in. Maybe we'll do this again like real soon.
Let's do it.
All right. Yeah, maybe like 5 minutes from now or something. Anyways, thank you for listening to the Diversity on a Hill podcast. By the way, I did not promote it because PK's on the phone and he's more professional than I. But hey, if you have any questions for us, reach us at diversityonahill@gmail.com. Or diversity.
Nailed it.
Or Diversity on a Hill, spelled with a C. And you can also get us there on the Instagrams, on the gram, and reach out to us if you have any questions. Hey, if you like kind of this new little format of maybe talking through some Bible verses and spiritual stuff, give us some input on that. See if you want to hear a little bit more of that. We want to get your input on that. But thanks, guys, for being a part of this. Mm-hmm. I'm PJ, and I'm out.
I'm PG, and I'm out.
PT, and I'm out.
I'm PC and I'm out.
I'm Jay Woo and I'm out.
And I'm PK and I'm going to pray real quick and then I'll let you go.
Oh, yeah. You're so professional.
So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to have a conversation about your word. So just give us clarity through your Holy Spirit like you promised to and help us to get the help that we need and be comforted by your presence in our lives. We love in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Many thanks. Blessings.
Yes.
Till next time.
Bye, everybody.